I will gladly give you the PowerPoint presentation. All you need to do is just email me, and I will be happy to send it to you if you want it. We still have a few more minutes. People may have gotten a late start in the last session. I'm not sure where everybody else was at. So, and they're sending around the sign-up sheet, so if you'd be gracious enough to make sure you get that signed. Bill, take over.
All right. Well, welcome to our session number two, dealing with care groups. And just wanted you to know who your presenter is. Dr. Ron Pratt is here from Lifeway with 29 years experience, 48 years in the ministry. And he's going to help us understand the purpose and goals and procedures of having good, effective care groups. Many years ago, I told my secretary, there's too much apathy around here, but who cares? But I think you do care, and that's why you're here. So we're going to want Ron to have his full hour, so I'll turn it over to Ron Pratt.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, you and your wife, for hosting us, and thank you for being here. I am passionate about Sunday school. I was a minister of music until I got saved, and a little bit of truth in that. That is my background. I was born and raised in L.A., and that's not Lower Alabama. It's Los Angeles, California. That's home to me. But I've been in Franklin, Tennessee for the last 33 years, so it really is. We've just kind of become adopted by the greater Nashville area. And don't really have any desire to go anywhere else. I retired from Lifeway 5 years ago, and so now I just kind of do what I've been passionately being a part of for 30-some years at Lifeway. I just do on my own now. So I'm glad that you're here. I believe in Bible study. I believe in Sunday school. I believe in Bible study groups. Call them whatever you want to call them. But it doesn't matter to me what we call them. What matters is what do we try to accomplish. And, you know, you can put three Baptists in one room and have 5,000 opinions. We are the most opinionated group of people on the planet. And everybody has an opinion about what they think it's supposed to be. And so, really, I want to begin by just asking some questions tonight when it comes to care group leaders. Because we have so many varying opinions about what Sunday school is and why care groups and all these other things, I thought it might be good for us to just kind of, you know, Newt Rockne used to always take that leather object in his hand at the beginning of the season and say, gentlemen, this is a what?
Football.
Those teams that know how to execute the basics better than any of the other teams are usually the ones who make it the furthest. And so, you know, I'd like us to just kind of think back as to what is it that we're to be about? I mean, I could sit here and give you care leader training based on my 47 years of work in the church. And, you know, that's some good stuff, but that's just my opinion. What happens if we all understand the bigger picture? It's not just a care group. It's really something that's a part of the bigger picture. And helping people realize that they're a part of something bigger than just calling somebody on the phone. Somebody's a part of something bigger than just putting a note in the mail. But this is something that's got a lot of significance to it and how it fits in the overall picture. And so there are some questions I would just like us to ask. The first one is this. What is Sunday school? What is life Bible study? And let's just talk. This is informal. There's not a No right or wrong answer today. I just want you to think with me. What is Sunday school? What is Life Bible Study?
It's a means for staying focused on Him.
Say that again.
It's a means for staying focused on Him.
It's a means for staying focused on biblical content. Okay? A means for staying focused on what's really significant, what's really important. Okay? What else is Sunday school? What is Bible study? Life Bible study? I mean, we do it every week.
Church divided into smaller groups so that there's interaction.
Okay? It's taking the church and dividing it into smaller groups so that we can have participation. We can get involvement. Because the truth of the matter is, we're not going to get a lot of participation and involvement in big church. Yes? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't stand up in the middle of the preacher's sermon and say, "Excuse me, brother pastor, but I would like to ask you a question." I mean, they're going to escort you out. Because that's not what worship is, a monologue, not a dialogue. There are three things. This is free. There are three things that we can do in these small groups that you can't do in big church, which makes small groups so important. One is involvement and participation. We can't get dialogue in a massive worship service, but we can get dialogue in a small group. Another is ministry. You do not do ministry in a worship center, do you? No. What you do in the worship center is listen to a minister. You do not do the ministry in the worship center. And yet, that's what Sunday school, Life Bible Study groups are about. They're about doing ministry. So it's about participation, it's about ministry, and it's about what else? I don't know. I can't remember the third one.
Fellowship.
Developing community.
Huh?
Fellowship and community. Developing community.
Developing community. Developing community among that group, that small group. You don't do that in the worship center. Okay? So, there are some dynamics that go on that should be different. What's tragic is when Sunday school becomes a small worship service. You know what I'm saying? When we take Sunday school and make it little church, where it's now a monologue, not a dialogue, where it's now we're all sitting together and listening to somebody else teach. We're not really participating. I can get that in the sanctuary. So why should I come for Sunday school for an hour and 15 minutes to listen to one person talk and then go to the sanctuary and listen to the pastor talk? Who's usually going to be the better talker? Usually.
The pastor.
Why? Been doing it. Been doing it a long time. Develop the craft. Which is why today you often will see 1,000 people in the worship center and 400 people in small groups. Because small groups have become little churches instead of something unique and different. Bible study, Sunday school, Life Bible groups should be a completely different experience than what we get in the worship service. And what goes on in these groups should be something that you can't get when you go over here. That would make people want to be a part. And that's where care group leaders come in. So let me answer the question, what is Sunday school? What is Life Bible Study? Think about this. It's a strategy. It's a strategy. It is a strategy to help the church fulfill the Great Commission. That's what she is. Some people call her a program. Some people call it an organization. But the reality is, it is a strategy that we have put in place to help the church become organized and structured to fulfill the Great Commission. That's the task of every local New Testament church, isn't it? Every Bible-believing New Testament church has the same mandate. The Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the mandate for every single Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And the Sunday school life Bible study is a strategy put in place, to help us accomplish that objective. But not everybody understands that. And so a lot of times what it is just another program. It's just another thing on the calendar. No, it's not. It's bigger than that. We're a part of something bigger than that. And that's what Life Bible Study or Sunday School is. It's a strategy. So, then why does it exist? I mean, we know what it is, but why do we have it? Life would be a lot simpler if we just came to big church and went home. I mean, we've got a preacher we pay, and we've got good music out there we can listen to, and we can sing along. So why don't we just sleep in, come to big church, and then go home? We don't even have to have all these buildings, multiple levels, and elevators, and all this other stuff, and curriculum, and midnight madness. That's crazy on its own. I mean, why in the world are we doing those kind of things? So why does it exist? It's a strategy, but it's a strategy to fulfill the Great Commission. So why are we doing this thing? Six reasons why. Okay? Six reasons why. And I wish every leader in the church understood these six simple things. Number one, reach people for Bible study, reach people for Christ. If the strategy of the church is the fulfillment of the Great Commission, and we as a Life Bible Study group have been tasked to do that, then we need to realize that we exist to help reach people in this community with the good news of Jesus Christ. That we aren't here just for those we already have. We aren't doing what we do for those that we already know. We're constantly seeking to want more people to be a part. Because the task is till they all hear. It's not that we've got 4,000 and we can't find a place to park and, you know, we're already yada, yada, yada. No, that's not it. It's that there's 150,000 more people out here that are lost and going to hell. So let's do whatever we can do. Because that's why we have Sunday school. Now, why we have it and what it's accomplishing are two different things. Yes? Because we've gotten so comfortable with people that we know. And so Sunday school has become, let's just take those we already have and be happy. But that's not why Sunday school is there. That's not why those Bible study groups are there. They're there to help encourage us to keep reaching outside the walls of the church and draw people in that we know. We come in contact with people all week long. I want my Bible study group to be a group that wants to invite people to be a part. That's what I want. I want the members who come on Sunday morning to want to bring people they come in contact with, who they know in their community, who they know in their neighborhood, who their kids go to school with, yada, yada, a million times we could go on and on. The grocery store where I get my hair done, yada, yada, yada. And I want them to think, this is the one place that I could invite those people and know that they will be loved and accepted and made to feel like they belong. Instead, what often happens is they come into the room and nobody even talks to them. Because we've known each other for so long, we don't even recognize when somebody walks in the door. So, we exist to reach people. Number two, we exist to teach the Bible. Teaching biblical truth. That's why we're here. We're not here to just give a bunch of information out. We're here to teach biblical transformation. And unapologetically, I want people to be in the Word of God. If ever there is a Sunday school class that doesn't teach the Word of God, I want to close it down. Because all they are is a social club, and the world doesn't need another social club. It needs a Savior. And we don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible, but I want them to see what the Bible says. And every Sunday, I want the Word of God opened up in that Bible study class. It's the Bible that we teach. The truths of the Word of God is what we teach. Number three, we're there to help teach people how to share their faith. Witnessing. Number four, ministering. Ministering. Why does Sunday school exist? So that we can be the church organized in such a way that we can minister to each other. You say, wait a minute, we pay the preacher to do that. There's a Greek word for that. Baloney. That isn't biblical. We don't pay the preacher to do the ministry. The Bible says the work of the pastor is to equip the saints to do the work. It's not the pastor's job to do the work. Hello? The work of the pastor is to equip the saints to do the work. So we have this structure called Sunday school. We divide ourselves into smaller groups so that we can do what? We can do the ministry. There should never be anybody in the church who has a need that we know about in our Bible study class that we don't take care of. And here's a really cool thing. If I run across somebody that doesn't come to church and they have a need and we minister to them, you know what usually happens? They come.
They come to church.
They come. That's right. Because they see that this is real and they want to be a part. So the greatest evangelistic opportunity we often have is when we're ministering to people that have never even come to the church. But we don't think that way. We just think about those we already have. Minister. Number five. Reach, teach, witness, minister. Worship. Hebrews 10, 25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It is important that we have time to give praise and adoration to God. That's corporate worship. Sunday mornings, the high and holy hour, 11 o'clock, if you're in the King James Version of the Bible. If you're in the New American Standard, we can do it at 9:30. There is a time where we just say, oh God, you are such an incredible God, and we just worship you, we just praise you. But there's also daily quiet time, daily time of worship. And Sunday school, Bible study exists to encourage people not only to come to big church, but also how to have that quiet time every day. That 5 to 10 minutes with God. Just having an alone time. Spending time with Him in worship and praise. And then the last one, number six, is keep people informed. Sunday school exists to keep people informed about what's going on. When the church is doing Midnight Madness, when the church is doing Marriage Encounter, when the church is doing a stewardship campaign, when the church is whatever the church is doing, we want to communicate that to our Bible study classes, because not everybody reads everything. Not everybody sees everything. Not everybody hears everything. I was a minister of announcements for 5 years. You know who that is? That's the minister of education. He can't preach and he can't sing, so you got to do something with him in big church, so you let him make the announcements. You know, nobody listens. Nobody listens when you make announcements. It's crazy. So in our small groups, we can keep people informed about what's going on, because it's a much more intimate setting than it is when we're in some big group somewhere. All right? So it's a strategy to help fulfill the Great Commission. It's there to help us reach and teach and witness and minister. That's critical, because the last question is, in the whole organization of Sunday school or Life Bible Study, who do you think is the most important person in that whole Sunday school structure, that whole organizational flow chart? Who would you say is the most important person? And this is a trick question, so you don't have to answer it, but just think about it. Because 99 times out of 100, people will usually say the teacher. The teacher's the most important person in that whole organizational chart. not the outreach leader, the caregiver, but the teacher. Why? Because that's the person we see every week, and they're the ones who are planning and studying, and they're the ones who share the lesson. So we visually think that's the most important person. But in my world, they're not the most important person. Do you know who the single most important person is, in my opinion, in the whole adult Sunday school life Bible study group flowchart?
Care group leader.
Thank you.
Just assuming based on the
course. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah. The care group leader. Why? Why the care group leader is the most important?
They're the ones who do the one-on-one.
Thank you. They're the ones who have been given the opportunity, who have been tasked with the opportunity of being in touch with all of the members of the class. Every week. Every week. If my care group leaders are doing their jobs and they're in touch with the people that have been assigned to them, they're going to know what's happening. They're going to know who's there, who's not there, why they're not there, how long it's been since they've been there. They're going to know if something's happening in their world that I need to be aware of. They're going to be in touch with that. Why? Why are they going to know that? Because they're in touch. I have a Sunday school class of 54 people. Do you think by the time I work outside the home and by the time I study and plan and prepare my lesson and that I've got responsibilities as a father and a husband, do you think that I'm going to be able to be in touch with on a regular basis every one of those 54 people in my class? There's not enough hours in the day. So do you know what I'm going to do?
Group text.
I'm going to do what? I'm going to what?
Group text.
Group text. Facebook Live. Oh, here we go. Social media.
He's got it down.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do?
Delegate.
I'm going to do what I love to do, which is teach. And you know what isn't going to get done?
Outreach and ministry.
It's not going to be done unless I find somebody or delegate or draw people in and enlarge the organization. Because I can't physically do it. And that's what's often happened in our classes. The teacher has, by default, been given the responsibility not only of teaching, but also contacting, doing the socials, and everything else. And what happens is, we just wear them out. You know? We just wear out. I'm going to do what I'm passionate about. That's where my greatest joy is. And my greatest joy is teaching. Can you tell? I mean, I would rather be here than anywhere. My wife is so glad I'm here. Because this is what I get excited about. This is what drives me. And so on Sunday morning when it's the opportunity to teach, that's it. I'm not real good at all that other stuff. So I need to draw people in who have those kind of abilities or have those kinds of desire, that kind of willingness to want to be a part and to help. So let me define organization, okay? Just for the sake of, organization is a process of putting people, this is another freebie, into a structure to accomplish a task. That's what organization is, okay? Organization is the process of putting people into a structure to accomplish the objective, to accomplish the task. All right, what is the task? Reaching, teaching, witnessing, ministry, yes? All right, let's just narrow it down. Reaching and teaching and ministry. If we could just get those three things down pat. All right, so that way I would have a structure then that has reaching and teaching and ministry. All right? Therefore, I would try to have somebody who keeps us focused on outreach. I would have the teacher, and then I would have what? Care leaders. Exactly. Because that's where the ministry is going to be done. It's going to be done in small groups. It's not done in the sanctuary. It's not done in that big, massive group of people. It's done in small groups. But I have to believe that this process is important enough that I seek to draw people in to help. Because I'll promise you, some of these adults that have been in your Sunday school classes, they've been in them for 10, 12, 14, 15 years. And you know what they've done for 10, 12, 14 years? Sat. They've sat. And they've had 4, 5, 6 teachers come and go. They've outlasted a bunch of them. And they're going to continue to sit as long as we let them. And I've said to my class, I don't know how many times I've said to my class, I can't do everything, guys. I cannot do everything. I need you. Now, that's a shocker, because most of them think that, you know, I can do everything. I can't. It's not biblical, and I need help. And I need somebody who will help me at the standpoint of ministry. And the person that we identify that with is the care group leader. Okay?
All rectors, listen carefully. This is the wrecking department.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, the candy will pass by on this conveyor belt and you take them into the next room where the girls will pack it. Now, your job is to take each piece of candy and wrap it in one of these papers and then put it back on the belt. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Let her roll! Wait here. Somebody's asleep at the switch.
What are you doing up here? I thought you were downstairs boxing chocolates.
Oh, they kicked me out of there fast.
Why? I kept pinching them to see what kind they were. The fourth apartment I've been in.
I didn't do so well either.
All right, girls. Now, this is your last chance. If one piece of candy gets past you and into the packing room unwrapped, you're fired.
Yes, ma'am.
Feel like that's what happens in some of our Bible study classes. You know, we find one or two people and we just work them to death. And we just add more and more and more and more. Instead of realizing that the Bible says every one of us has been given a spiritual gift. There's not one person who is a born-again Christian sitting in any of our Sunday school classes that doesn't have at least one spiritual gift. Yes? According to the Bible, every believer has at least one spiritual gift. Some of them have more than one. And here's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what it says. It says that every gift was given to build up the body of Christ, the what? Church. Every gift was given to build up the body of Christ, the church. Which means that every gift that has been given so that it would have its first fruits born out in service inside the body of Christ, the church. Now think about that. There's a principle at play called the Pareto principle that says 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. Barna will tell you that in the year 2016-17, 85% of the work is done by 15% of the people. Now think about that. If every believer has a spiritual gift, and every gift is to be used to build up the body of Christ, the church, 85% of the people are not exercising their spiritual gifts. Something's not right. Something's not right. Is it? I mean, to know that I have a spiritual gift, to be have been given a spiritual gift by my Heavenly Father who loved me and gave himself on the cross for me and forgave me of my sins and gave me a life, an abundant life, and a life of purpose and meaning, and I've got, been given this gift and I'm doing nothing with it. I don't get it. To me, that's disobedient, isn't it? Help me. Am I naive? I mean, if I know I have a spiritual gift, but I'm not willing to do anything with it, isn't that disobedient? And what is disobedience? I've always thought it was a sin. Yeah. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get these people in my Bible study class to realize that God has saved them not to sit soak and sour, but he saved them to serve. And every one of us in our Bible study class ought to be able to find a place of service, whether it's being an usher, or whether it's being a parking attendant, or whether it's being a care leader, or whether it's being an associate teacher, or whatever it is. But I'm just telling you, every single person ought to have something that they're doing with their spiritual gift within the body of Christ, the church. There shouldn't be anybody just sitting. Should there? So if I'm a teacher and I got the same seven people sitting in the same seven chairs for 77 years, I don't think I'm doing so well. What I want to do is I want to start focusing back on not just me telling, but them getting involved in doing, being the church. And care group leaders are critically important. And to be candid with you, it doesn't require a lot. Does it? I mean, I'm studying my lesson, I'm reading every day. It takes somewhere between 4 to 7 hours a week of preparation before I teach a Bible study class on Sunday morning. You know how much I ask my care leaders to give? Less than 30 minutes a week. Less than 30 minutes. Can you be an effective care group leader in less than 30 minutes a week? Y'all tell me.
Yes, because you don't want to take up their time, you know, either. You don't want to intrude on their time either.
Thank you. Say that again.
You don't want to intrude on their time. You don't.
They don't want you intruding on their time. So it's not like I'm going over and spending half the day with one person. And I've got to do that 8-10 times? No. Not the way it goes. So, let's take the word care and build an acrostic out of it. And think about what kinds of things, how can we show people that we care? I look around in the place that I live, I see people with so much to give, yet there are those who are dying to know just that somebody cares. Do you really care? Group text.
Oh, you want me to text if we really care?
Group text. Does that show you care? Well, if they got nothing, that might be something.
200,000 other people they get texts from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'll go back to ask my question. How do we show that we care in a culture that doesn't want to be bothered? They don't want you intruding. And yet, here we've been tasked with caring. So how do we balance this thing between caring and intruding? Because I'll tell you, I don't want a bunch of people bothering me. And I've been in the ministry since I was 17. But I do want to know they care. So, help me. How do we show we can care and not cross that line by intruding?
Being available.
Available. A. Available. What does that mean pragmatically? Available. How do I let somebody know I'm available?
Tell them.
Call them?
Okay.
C. Call. Available.
Send out a mass text. It says, okay, you can talk to me, call me.
Okay.
Or here's my email address. Or here's my cell phone.
Okay. Here's my phone number. How many people do you think will call you? I'm being the devil's advocate now.
On a weekly basis? Or
yeah, how many people are going to call you? You're the care group leader. How many people in your care group are going to call you?
I have about five.
Five?
Well,
good girl.
You. That's you.
You rock, girl. I love it. How many do you think in most care groups are going to call the care group leader every week?
None.
That's the usual answer. Zero. Okay? How do you get people to communicate with you? What are you doing? What have you done to garner that kind of response?
Well, they share their needs with me. I ask them what things they have that I can pray for.
Whoa, stop right there. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. What did she just say? I talk to them and ask them if they have what?
Needs.
And if I could
pray.
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest things we can do is to inquire of them if there's anything that they need. I'm not calling you to blast you because you weren't here. I'm not calling you to tell you you haven't been in Sunday school in the last 8 months. I'm calling to see if you have any needs. Because I'll promise you, there are people in our classes who do have some needs. And they will be shocked if you say, Can I pray with you? And I mean, right then, right there, on the phone, Heavenly Father, boom. We just pray. It'll blow their socks off. So you talk about needs, and you ask them if there's something you can pray for. Okay? So how do they just sometimes pick up the phone and call you?
Sometimes, yeah.
And say what? I'm stunned. I just can't wait to hear this.
Sometimes they just want to talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's one particular girl in our care group who has just really had a lot of hard knocks in life. She has very little contact with her family, and she just needs someone to talk to. And so she'll call me about 3 times a week. Doesn't talk long, maybe 5-7 minutes. Just wants that personal contact.
Mm-hmm. Did she do that the first time you were a care group leader? And just, you know.
She's done it more since I've become a care group leader. She would occasionally do that before, but she knew I cared about her. Since I've become, she's actually been a part of the care group, I've heard from her more.
Okay. That's great. That's wonderful. I mean, that's really what it's about. So, how many people are on our care groups? How many people are in your care group?
There's about 6 couples.
Okay, so you've got
6 couples and then 2 individuals.
Okay, so you've got 6 couples and 2 individuals. 8 people. Okay?
No. Too many.
No?
6 couples is 12.
Well, I'm just saying 6 is 6. One phone call is going to catch both of them in my world. I'm not calling both husband and wife. Sorry, you get one call. But I understand. Your math is perfect.
He's a CPA. He's going to catch you on those technicalities.
Perfect. But yeah, so there's 8 contacts that need to be taken. That's how I'm thinking. Which is what we say. What we say is, a care group leader should be responsible for no more than 6 to 8 contacts. And you can do that in 30 minutes. Because I can send a postcard, I could send a personal text message, I could send, I can make a phone call. I can do that 6 to 8 times every week in less than 30 minutes. In fact, truth of the matter is, I can make 1 or 2 visits and make the phone calls and send a text message or an email in 30 minutes. Can you? Remember, we're not intruding. We're just going to go by. Here's what happens. My house is here. The church is here. I do grocery shopping here. The bank is over here. My kids play sports over here. And the school is up here. Do you know what I do during the course of a week? And we haven't even talked about where my work is. I am absolutely all over the city in the course of a week. Yes or no? If I know my group, I've got somebody who lives here, and somebody who's here, and somebody who's here. And you know what? If I just plan it, I can, on my way to the school, leave 5 minutes early, drop by, hit the door, love you, glad you're there, anything I can pray for you about, and I'm on my way. And I made a personal visit.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because my wife and I are millennials, but like, and in most of our classes, but like if somebody just shows up at our house, or we showed up at somebody else's house, they would freak out. Like, what are you doing here at my house?
Like, yeah. So how do you avoid that kind of response? Because I'm not a millennial, but I don't want them at my house. Somebody starts coming up to my door And I'm, well, last Saturday, I sang in a barbershop quartet in Nashville. We practiced in a guy's house. We went to the wrong house. First time we'd been there. Went to the wrong house. The guy came out the front door to confront us as we were walking up. His three kids were looking out the plate glass window, almost with terror in their eyes. You know, we live in a weird world. So how do we garner the kind of response that's open and not one that's...
precede it with a telephone call.
Build relationships.
Precede it with a phone call. Build a relationship.
Ask the people in your group, what kinds of things are you open to? Do you prefer phone calls? Do you prefer notes? Do you prefer visits? Are you open to me stopping by sometime if I call you first? Ask.
Yeah, we typically meet, you know, we meet for coffee in the mornings or... Uh-huh. But I like, even our dear friends, like, don't show up unannounced.
Yeah, don't. Yeah. I mean, okay, but... does that mean don't ever show up?
I think everybody here lives in Houston, Texas.
I don't, but go ahead.
You don't. Mm-hmm. But we live in Cade, which is 18 miles that way.
Mm-hmm.
Church is, quote, centrally located. Not really, right. But it is.
Yeah.
And you got people that live 20 miles the other way.
Right.
Most people in this room are not all over that area. And you may have people in your care group that's not, that aren't geographically convenient, because we do.
Yeah.
So the visit thing is, other than scaring people to death, is kind of out of the question unless you call ahead of time and set a meeting.
Okay. Can I play the devil's advocate?
Sure.
Okay. Here's how I think that can play itself out in a positive way, not a frightening way. I happen to think that as care group leaders, we ought to get together with our care groups in a social environment.
We do that. We do that.
Okay. Now, if I gather with my care group in a social environment, I can ask questions of them like, would it be okay sometime if I called you ahead of time to just stop by and say, hey, you know, I promise you I'm not going to come unannounced, but would it be okay?
Meet you at a Starbucks halfway in between or something.
Fine. But you see, that requires some kind of communication. And what most care groups don't do is they don't do the social dynamic. Most care group leaders will do the postcard, the visit, or the phone call. But we don't get together. I think as a care group, it would be wonderful to get together every 2 or 3 months in a social setting. You know, a meal together with all of the people, you know, type of a thing. And we can talk about, you know, visits and phone calls and what's working and how do you appreciate it and what do you want and how can I avoid something that would be uncomfortable. And you know, we just want you to know we care. That's all. You know, we don't want to make you mad. Go ahead.
And so I'm asking, because we don't have care groups right now. We're the directors of a Life Bible study with like 50 people, and we're just trying to, our leadership team is trying to just, you know,
touch.
So we want to implement care groups. When you say get together, are you talking, it's like I'm a care group leader, we invite like one couple at a time, or that your entire care group, you invite them over?
A or and B. A and B.
Either one, okay.
Yeah, either and, both and, not either or.
And the reason I ask is because, and it's just a weird dynamic, but our perception has been that if you create a group, then people start to be like, well, I don't want to be in that group. This is a small group now? We don't want to be in this small group.
That's happened in ours in the past, too. Then people kind of get offended if they're not in this group. It's
one group gets to be really cool and the other groups don't do anything, mm-hmm. And then people want to be in this group, and they don't want to be in that group. And, you know, it can create some different dynamics. But
you could switch off groups each year, though.
Yeah, that's groups. One of the things that we work off of as care group leaders is rotating people in and out of groups. So that, for example, I may have a relationship with two or three of these six people, a really good relationship, but I'm not connecting with a couple of them at all. I mean, we're just not, there's nothing there. So what we do in our class is the care leaders will get together every couple of months, and we'll sit down together and talk and find out, who are you connecting with? Who are you not connecting with? Is it possible that you've got somebody in this group and you've got somebody in your group, and we could move them from the group to the group and there might be a better connection? And so that's the kind of dynamic that we want to keep open from the standpoint of care group leaders. And some classes will automatically every 12 months rotate their care groups. They'll have a structure and they'll do it that way. Some will just sit down together every couple of months and evaluate, how well are we doing, who are we reaching, who are we not reaching. Is there somebody that knows Bill and works out there where he does and maybe can have a better connect point with him than I can have? And sure. So we'll just swap somebody. You know, all that just goes on behind the scenes.
So you don't necessarily inform them, like, you've been traded?
No. They don't really care.
Yeah.
At that point, they're just, you know, it's nice that they got somebody that, you know, maybe they can connect with, maybe not. Yeah, we just need to make a way over there. Uh-huh. So neat.
But as the leader of his life Bible study, then you just need to start touching base with different people, like he said, maximum of like 6 to 8 people. So then divide your 50 by that number.
Yeah, what you'd like to see happen is, if you've got 48 people who are in that class, and we've got 6 to 8 in a care group, you'd have what, six care group leaders? And each of those would have 8 people. And each of these then would be tasked with the responsibility of either making a visit, a phone call, a letter, an email, or something every week.
Sure.
You know, every week. Now, that may be a little stout at first, and your people may get a little pushback at first. But if you approach it from the standpoint of, what are your needs? How can we pray for you? You know, you don't want to, you're not trying to blast them. You just want them to know you care.
Sure.
Yes.
I was going to just share one of the things that we did at our first care group meeting. Is we try to have time, you know, to visit, but a little bit of structure too, so that people don't just feel like they have to make conversation the whole time with people that they may not feel as comfortable with. And so, you know, we just, we got together and we had Ice Cream Sunday Social, and everybody built their own ice cream sundaes. And then we got together and I had everybody share 3 things about themselves that they didn't think anybody else knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just had a time where we shared each other's prayer needs, and we had a time of prayer. And, you know, it took about 2 hours, you know, for that particular, and we did it on a Sunday evening,
mm-hmm.
because they're already doing church-related things on Sunday, and sometimes Sunday evenings are a good time for people to get mm-hmm. together. They can still have Saturday to get their family responsibilities, things done.
Right.
So we did ours on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think the key thing here is that we understand how important the care leader is in the overarching aspect of a family of a Life Bible Study group. And it doesn't matter if you're a millennial or a retired senior adult. It doesn't matter. The reality is that it feels good when somebody cares. And most of our classes are structured in such a way that we're happy if we get a teacher. And, you know, that's the end of it. So that's why the whole care group leader process, to me, is so important. And when you think about caring, you can think about contacting. There are simple little things, very pragmatic things that we can do when we contact people without it being overpowering. You don't have to go visit them at their house unannounced. All right, but there are other ways to make contact. What are the ways we can make contact with people that are not offensive?
Text.
If we can't go visit, give me some contact ways.
Call, text, email.
Call, text, email.
Make sure you connect with those individuals on Sundays and say, "How'd your week go?
They actually show up on Sunday morning. They're in our care group. What a concept. Communicate with them on Sunday morning. Care, email, card, phone call, communicate. Can you think of other things?
Like their posts on Facebook.
Yeah.
I was going to say social media.
Yeah.
That's a big thing these days.
I stay in
contact with quite a few of them on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, the important thing is realizing the care group leader process is a part of the bigger picture. Okay? What would happen if we contacted everybody in our class every week consistently? What would happen? You think it would grow? Think it would grow?
It would improve our discipleship.
The key is, where do we find these people? I mean, I got a teacher. Now I'm trying to find 8 more people. If people don't see the big picture, if people don't see how this fits into the overarching goal of the Great Commission and how we fit in that process, and that we have the privilege of being able to be a part of something that's that significant, they'll just see that as another job on their to-do list. And their to-do lists are already full, and they don't want anything else to do. So seeing how it fits into the bigger picture, I think, is critical. And realizing that the care group leader in my world is the single most important person in the entire Sunday school chart. It just is. Any questions? Do you have enough to walk away with, either saying you're doing an incredible job or here's some ideas?
And then we just have to tap into the resources of the church. Like if some of our LBS members have needs or anything that, you know, us ourselves can't meet everybody's need on our care list.
I can't meet the needs of 50 people, but I can pray for 6 or 7 people. And if those needs are great, it's my opportunity to share that with the teacher. And then the teacher can share that up the lines, and maybe things to be done that wouldn't be done. But I think the biggest thing is realizing how important the care leader is in this whole thing. It's critically important in my world. And I'm so grateful you're here and hopefully encouraged, because it's a vital task. Bill, it's 10:15.
And we talked a lot about groups, care groups, and care group leaders and so forth. And I've heard other presentations in the past, and it's so critical that we not only involve those 48 that are there most Sundays, but those visitors, those that are invited, maybe the first time they've ever seen your church, and they come in and they see everybody in a cluster, and they're not welcomed. So it's critical that our care groups really care, not just about their 8 or 6 or 15 as we have or whatever, but they care about people that are there for the first time or visiting family members or whatever. Thank you, Ron. We appreciate your presentation. Welcome.
Thank you all. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Ron.
You bet. Have a great next hour.
Good to see you, Eric. Thanks, man.
Thank you. So I was just going to share with you. So like we're actually a St. Clair campus. Everybody wants to be a part of a small group. When we were young married, we developed one of the deepest relationships we had. So everybody wants to get a small group. So we do small groups, and after 3 weeks, nobody's showing up anymore. And, you know, it's just like we're the directors. And then so it's like us and the teacher. Yeah, left, you know. After a couple of years, we're like, we got to get care groups going. So that we're actually being intentional about reaching everybody on another weekly basis.
Are these meetings going on at homes?
They were. So we, last semester, we didn't even do small groups because they got.
I had always been in smaller churches.
Just social. You know, like people would be like, well, we only want to do a small group. This couple, you know.
Oh,
not hang out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If we were just meeting some other people who are in the well, I hope we'll see you again.
Thank you. I would love that. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Because there's the whole kind of launching a church that, in that aspect of it, too, just trying to get them.
Welcome.
Here with that.
Thank you.
Being part
I hope you've had
church,
a good evening
a,
so far.
It's been good. So we've just kind of shut small groups down. And can't do this anymore. So now we're trying to. We've got a pretty solid leadership team. There's five couples, and so everybody is pretty.